This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 211 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 28, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus, my main man, your boy.
Hello.
It was very disappointing. However, it was game 1 of 83, so I'm sure we'll have our payback soon.
Yep, we're going to have another bet this year. I lost the bet last year and had to pay up, and I did.
Yeah, how did that LeBron Sprite taste again?
Terrible.
All right. So we're here back again another week, another awesome guest that we have lined up for the show tonight, and let's just jump right into it here. Marcus, why don't you introduce our guest?
Oh, our guest needs absolutely no introduction, but he is Kyle Maurer, the co-founder and lead developer for Real Big Marketing, based in Jackson, Michigan. He's a huge fan of WordPress, uses it every day, and makes awesome stuff with it. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Thanks so much, you guys. And thanks, Marcus, for getting my last name correct. That's awesome. High five to you.
Finally, somebody on the show gets a last name right, and it's not me.
Bravo.
Wow, fantastic. So, yeah, thanks for coming on our show, Kyle. I've been looking forward to this, and I figure now is as good a time as any to have you on the show. I mean, you recently did the big HeroPress essay, which we'll talk a little bit about that. You're very busy. You get your hands in all sorts of WordPress pots, so to say, little different projects you have going on. But you're a first-time guest, I believe, on WordPress Weekly. So let's start from the beginning, and let's just talk about your WordPress origin story. We don't have to tell the whole story, but really what led you and got you involved with WordPress?
Sure, yeah. So I did talk about this, I suppose, a little bit in the essay, and it goes back. I was going to college some years back at a community college and took a class in like Dreamweaver or something like that. And at the time, I thought maybe the future for me was IT or something like that. I didn't really know. I had no clue really what the right direction for me was, but somebody along the way had told me that computers were a thing, and if you knew them, you would probably always have work. And so I kind of rode on that for a while. But then at some point, I kind of was getting turned down from a lot of things and finding how IT is a pretty frustrating profession and not really a perfect fit for my skill set and what I like to do. And decided to kind of develop some other skills along the way in my spare time so that I could potentially get some employers to actually bite on my resume. And so I explored a lot and found the kind of web design maybe a good option. And as soon as I started learning about it online with some tutorials and talking about it, I got a few quick projects from like friends and family and colleagues and such. And that immediately led to an internship at a marketing agency. And before long, I was running their marketing department, and someone introduced me to WordPress. This wasn't that long ago. All things considered, I kind of consider myself a WordPress rookie because I think this when I was first introduced to it, it was probably in 2011. And it was as just a way to power our corporate blog. And it was a kind of a preferred choice when we were kind of taking SEO into consideration. And so shortly after I discovered it, things fell apart at the agency I was working at and kind of like a big ball of flames. And I found myself not really with a lot of work on my hands and decided to start a business. And that's really where I'm at now, several years later, running this small agency. I've got a business partner. We've got one full-time developer working for us. And we really specialize in WordPress. That was kind of the chance thing that I chose at the time. I rolled the dice on WordPress, and it's really kind of paid off in spades in the end.
I think it's kind of amusing that you actually got into computers and web design and things so you could get a job, yet you end up working for yourself.
That's a way to look at it.
Yeah. I got a degree in business administration along the way that's been extremely useful in this line of work.
So just to give, I was I love HeroPress. I think it's one of the best things to happen to the WordPress community in a long time. The essays there by people are awesome, and yours included. And just to give our listeners a little bit of background info on your story, you grew up in Jackson, Michigan. There was like an 80-acre farm. There wasn't really much to do in terms of technology up there. You're on the farm. You learn to milk cows and mess around with animals and take care of them and take care of the farm. And it just so happens that, you know, over the course of time and you really working your butt off and some things kind of falling into place with you and getting a hold of an old computer that maybe somebody had thrown away or something, you somehow end up with getting involved with WordPress. And in fact, one of the coolest things about your story that I took away from is that you went to a WordPress meetup. You went on meetup.com, you found a WordPress meetup in your area, and through that meetup, you were able to see the power and the things that the doors that could open up for you if you let it, if you take advantage of what WordPress has to offer in terms of software. And I think it was so cool because, you know, these meetups are, I help organize a local meetup here, and we have people that are either new to WordPress or trying to get their minds around different things of what's going on in the software. And I just find it really cool that the meetup in your area was so pivotal to, you know, you're really getting involved with WordPress. I mean, it was your gateway, that meetup.
Yeah, in all honesty, I don't know where things would have gone without that, but it was so providential that in the very month that I found myself no longer commuting to a job every day, the first WordPress meetup in our area was started by Peter Shackelford, who is now a very good friend of mine, and I owe a lot to, because he was kind of my mentor for those early years. And every single meetup was like an epiphany, learning what was possible with WordPress. I don't know what direction I would have gone. We were just using WordPress because at the time it seemed like the quickest way to build client sites, but I was in no way married to it. But that meetup really opened my eyes to not only the power of the software, but also the openness and helpfulness of the community, which really cemented our choice to use it exclusively.
Did you try other things like Joomla or Drupal or any of those packages?
Yeah, I definitely experimented with a lot of things. Prior to WordPress, I was building everything from scratch. I made a lot of HTML websites and a lot of custom PHP websites. I learned some PHP on my own from some tutorials and used a lot of other website builders that came with whatever cheap shared hosting we were using. And, you know, played around with Drupal as well and a variety of others just to kind of see what was the fastest that I could go from nothing to a functioning website. And it seemed like some of those fancy schmancy WordPress themes were pretty slick and quick to get the job done. So that was our starting point.
You know, I don't advocate the use of drugs on the show, but when Marcus asked that question, he goes, "Yo, did you try some Drupal? Did you try some Joomla? How about that WordPress? Yeah, man." It just kind of, that's the first thing I thought right when he asked that question.
More people were using WordPress, and he thought, yeah, that WordPress, man, that's the way to go.
That's the way to go.
That's right. And the meetup was my gateway, for sure.
Yeah, see? No, I just find that a bit fascinating, and to the effect of, well, that's, you know, Matt Mulloway actually said he recognized that, A, meetups are hard to organize and to come up with something new to speak about every month, and he actually at WordCamp San Francisco asked everyone in the audience who organizes a meetup to stand up, and everybody gave a round of applause for them. So he came out, he recognizes that meetups are an integral part, like for people like you, the gateway to sort of getting involved with WordPress, learning about it, and really getting to experience firsthand what this community has to offer.
Yeah, and I thought that was a very powerful moment. I was there, and I was thinking to myself, this is awesome. This is really, really cool. And he's absolutely right on. And just that meetup, you know, was so providential for me, and WordPress has now changed so much of my life in many positive ways, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be involved in it.
So you've spoken at many WordCamps. You're involved in many different aspects of the WordPress community. But one of the cool projects you've recently created, and I think this is neat, it's called WordCrash, and it's a website. It's sort of like, I like to refer to it as sort of an Airbnb type site, but for WordPressers and for WordCampers. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind it and how it works.
Sure, yeah, thanks for asking. WordCrash is something that, you know, it's kind of like fun little side projects for some of us, but it started just earlier this year. I started going, you know, to, I mean, I've been going to WordPress WordCamps for a few years, but I traveled to a few WordPress events early in the year, and I had different lodging options each time, and at some points I stayed at a hotel or something, or even a campground, and at other times I stayed with some friends in the area that I coincidentally happened to know, and they invited me to like sleep on their couch or in a guest bedroom. And after a few of those events, I started to reflect on just like how different my experience was overall. You know, in the instances where I stayed with a friend, the experience overall of the entire weekend was so vastly superior to the events where I found my own lodging independently. And, you know, one big reason is I'm obviously funding my own travel, so I saved a lot of money by staying with a friend, but not just that. The entire experience was better because I got to build a relationship with somebody and have somebody to give me kind of like a tour of the city and show me the places to go and the places not to go, and somebody to share a ride with to the venue, and just generally have a great time with. And I started to reflect on just like how cool would it be if this kind of thing were, you know, a more common practice, because so many of us in this community are traveling all the time. WordCamps are in like every major city, and a lot of us are mapping out a year in advance, like which camps are we going to try and hit? And most of the time we're staying in hotels and things like that. Like how cool would it be if we encouraged this practice more often, of just like staying with a friend in the community, or just staying with another WordPress user in the community and making a new friend. So brainstorming with a few friends, we started to talk about how cool it would be to do something kind of like Couchsurfing for WordPress, which is another popular site, similar to Airbnb, only typically free. Airbnb is not typically, but so we had this idea, and we're like, oh yeah, that'd be pretty sweet to spread the idea around. And then, but it was just another idea, just like many of the ideas that all of us come up with while we're sipping on drinks at a WordCamp after party or something.
Yeah, most of those ideas don't become a reality, but this one,
most of them don't. You're absolutely right. A handful have, and then, you know, but that's probably, you know, on another after party discussion.
So I'm looking at the main website here, and you have about 12 or 16 people who are willing to be a host, and you've got people in New South Wales, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Kentucky, even Mumbai. If anyone's going out to, I don't know, WordCamp Mumbai, there's somebody there who has no pets, and they have a capacity of two people. So there's these different buttons, sort of they look like badges. You just say contact hosts, and apparently you fill out your information, and it sends an email directly to the person who owns that property, I suppose.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, the idea that we had was like, we just need to make a simple site where someone who is open to the idea of hosting a traveler could list themselves as a potential host anonymously, which we believe is kind of important, just, you know, to open the door for contact. After we brainstormed on the ideas just with a few friends, Ross Johnson and I, he's the organizer of the Ann Arbor WordPress meetup, which is nearby us, we thought maybe it would be a fun project as a group exercise at one of our meetups to just build this site, you know, because we've talked about how fun it would be as just a, instead of a presentation or a work session for a meetup, we'd all work together on a website to just learn how it comes together. And we said, why not make WordCrash at a meetup? And so we did. We broke up. We had about 30 people there. Broke up into four different groups for different aspects of the site, and we made it happen in 2 hours. And with a couple tweaks later on by myself and a couple other friends, you know, we have the website that you see today at wordcrash.net. And it's pretty simple, but it's fully functional. And as you said, it's as simple as just hosts who are open to the idea of hosting a traveler can just register on the site. It'll show, it'll list just their city and basic information like whether they have pets or not. And
so this host in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, their description is pets: 3 cats, 1 dog, a fish, and kids. Lots of kids. They have a capacity for an insane number of people, like maybe up to 2 or 3. And you know, if you're familiar with people in the WordPress community, it's pretty easy to know who that host is.
Yeah, it is. Even if I didn't have access to the user base on the back end, I would know instantly exactly who that profile is. You know, But, you know, you have some liberties when describing yourself. But, and there's debate amongst all of us, like how much we want to disclose and not. But at this point, all it is a simple contact form that delivers a message direct to the host. There's Word Crash or whatever Word Crash is. We don't get in between the conversation at all. It just opens the conversation, and then it takes place between two people via email after the fact.
No, I don't. Almost everyone on this list either has no pets or a cat. Now, there's a couple of people who have dogs on here, but it's overwhelmingly people with cats. What's up with that? I guess the WordPress community loves cats.
Apparently. I don't know.
You need to put in there like a box that can be checked, like, hey, I'll pick you up at the airport. Something like that.
Well, I think that information is probably covered in between the communication between the host and the people coming, I would imagine.
We would assume that at this point. You know, but at this, the site is volunteer-run right now by just a handful of us. So at this point, it's like if people want features, we're more than happy to add them. And obviously, we're more than happy to accept new volunteers who are like, I want to contribute. The code for the theme and the functionality plugin are on GitHub. And anybody who's like, I have an idea for a good WordCraft feature that would make it more useful to people, you know, let's talk about it. We've already had some discussions going on the GitHub issues for some features for, like, making it more easy to see where these cities are, because you may not know where Gregory, Michigan is or what its proximity to Ann Arbor is, but clicking on a map would be awesome. So things in the future for implementation.
Now, have you heard from anybody that has successfully gone through this WordCrash site and had a great time?
That's a great question. I wish I had a great answer. I haven't looked to see. All I would know is if a conversation was started.
I haven't
looked, because anything that happened after that, we wouldn't know unless they went out of their way to tell us. But this site has only been functional for 2 or 3 months now, and not a lot of events have taken place, and not a lot of people know about the site quite yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if it hadn't been taken advantage of yet. But
are you going to put reviews in there too? Like, yeah, I stayed at Jeff's house, and
it was, he still has 70-style green carpet.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, I would love nothing more than to have review features for Jeff's carpet and stuff, but.
Oh, God.
That's a matter, I think, for, you know, to basically the community and the users to decide, do we want this feature? And then ultimately, does a volunteer have time to implement the feature? So there's already been requests for it a little bit. As far as I'm concerned, it's just got to be something that would add value, and if people want it, we'll add it.
So if anybody out there wants to check it out, we'll link to it in the show notes, but it's wordcrash.net. Take a look at it. An online place for offline space. Catch the little title there. You know, one thing, that had to be cool. You know, one thing I haven't participated in yet is one of those group projects where you have 20 or 30 people. You have a nonprofit website or something that needs work done, and you start assigning tasks, and you just get on your laptop, you go, you get in your little group, you start doing some co-working, you're all in the same room together. I bet you that was a lot of fun.
You know, it really was, and it was so interesting because I was pretty apprehensive going into it, thinking, you know, what are people going to think about this? I'm going to be pitching this idea that will clearly appeal to a very niche market. And there's a lot of people in attendance who would never take advantage of the site. These are just things going through my head. They're basic users, bloggers, people just learning how to use WordPress. And we're going to ask them to help us make a website that serves our interests. I had all these apprehensions, but in the end, a lot of people went out of the way to tell us how cool it was to participate in this project. And we had talked in the past about making maybe a website for a nonprofit or something like that as an exercise. And a lot of people talked about how they could really get behind this because it was just a cool project. And then they loved the idea and they thought it was so neat, even though like it had not applicable to them. Many of them in attendance had never gone to a WordCamp and may never attend one beyond our local one. And they went out of their way just to tell me how, like, this was really fun to work on just because I thought the project was so cool and so unique. And a lot of people just got really engaged in the process and helping us build out the gravity forms and write out the copy of the terms. And someone even designed the logo right there on the spot. And all kinds of cool stuff was happening. So it was an exciting meetup for sure.
Man, that's cool stuff. So you are a organizer for the Michigan WordPress Meetup, based around Jackson, Michigan, and you recently successfully had another WordCamp up there at Ann Arbor. Beautiful city. I was there last year. What a great venue and place to host a WordCamp, especially this time of year with the foliage and everything. So congrats on, I think, did you help organize this past one, 2015?
Yes, I was a core organizer for 2014 and even more so in 2015.
For 2016, go ahead and announce it.
Yes, I will be the lead organizer for WordCamp Ann Arbor in 2016.
Aha! Congratulations there, mister.
Thanks, Jeff.
So, obviously, with the 2 years of kind of being right there, partner organizer for the event, at least you're not going into it with no experience, because organizing your first WordCamp, if you have no experience whatsoever, it's pretty challenging, especially with the paperwork and the sponsor payments and the communication and finding a venue. At least with your setup, you've had 2 or 3 years of experience that will help you with WordCamp Ann Arbor 2016. Do you have any future plans, or are you already starting to think about where you're going to host it? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've already been talking about this. I think I'm in an extremely fortunate position because we have a truly incredible organizing team. I could really owe so much to Ross Johnson, who was the lead organizer for the first 2 years, and he did all the hard work of kind of setting up the template for this and getting things going here. And I just have to basically copy what he did. And he'll be very actively involved going forward as well. So I think we have a great, great organizing team, and it's evident in the fact that we've been able to organize our camp like so far in advance, so consistently, which a lot of WordCamps in the past year or two have kind of struggled with, getting things approved and getting things moved along in a timely fashion. But we're working on next year already. We've already kind of started the process with the foundation, and we're already touring some potential venues. We went with a different venue this year than we did last year. We're going to probably go with a different one next year as well. All very similar on the campus of the University of Michigan, which is amazing. But we want a little more space because we're going up in attendance just a little bit each time. And we're very easily selling out each time. And we think we can accommodate maybe another 100 or maybe even 200. We'll see. So, yeah, we have a lot of cool plans. I think we've been successful at kind of innovating in a few areas and trying some new things and definitely serving the needs of the local community pretty effectively. So I think we're going to just continue building off of what we've been doing.
And so what, you know, how far out is, what is the typical cycle in terms of somebody who plans a WordCamp? Do they start a month prior, 2 months prior? What's typically the start cycle that you've got such a jump on?
You know, I think it varies, and some camps do have a lot of experience, like a lot of precedence. Maybe they're in their fifth year organizing or something like that, and they have a great template in place and maybe great relationships with a venue or something, because that can be one of the more difficult things to secure in advance. And so they can get away with maybe not so much procrastinating, but not having to worry about it so much in advance. For us, you know, this past year we did get an early jump on it, and even then we struggled to find the venue we wanted on the dates that we wanted, and it was a bit challenging. So that's a priority for us. We're going to be shooting for next October, and we're going to be trying to lock our venue in within the next month if we can. And a lot of other camps have struggled with it, you know, with changing organizing teams. I'm friends with a lot of other organizers, and they maybe struggling year after year to get volunteers or venues falling through, or maybe some slow approval processes or other issues that get them held back, or just being busy with their own businesses. And I want to avoid that for our camp, because I find it to complicate the process if you want to recruit speakers to come travel to you and they're already committed to another WordCamp or something like that, for example, because you're so late in the process. Or I've been in the position numerous times where I've been accepted as a speaker to a WordCamp with only a couple weeks' notice, and that's not a lot of time for me to really rehearse and put together a presentation of the quality that I'd like to deliver.
Well, and not only that, doesn't give you much time either. Most of these speakers, almost all of them, throughout the work camps, some of them are circuit speakers, they call them because they speak at multiple camps per year, but a lot of this, maybe some of them are sponsored, but most of it is out-of-pocket expenses for these people. And when you're notified that soon, boy, it doesn't give you a lot of time to get a cheap and good flight to get where you need to go.
Absolutely. It makes things difficult for a lot of people. So I've been on the other end where I've wanted to attend camps, and for whatever reason, maybe through no fault of their own, they were unable to give a lot of notice or sell tickets early or announce speakers early or something like that. It put me in a difficult position, and I don't want to do that to other people. So fortunately, we have a great team. We're all really motivated because we're just coming off a successful camp, so we're going to be getting on this ASAP to make sure that next year's as successful as this year.
And sort of like what has happened to you, hopefully during this year you can find somebody who, you know, maybe you want to do it for 2 years. I know the WordCamp Foundation has a 2-year limit on when, you know, that's how long one person can organize the event for the area in consecutive time. So hopefully you have someone in mind, or you could find someone who wants to lead it maybe in that third year or the second year, and you can bring them along, and they could be sort of like your co-helper, your right-hand man or whatever, so that, you know, it's a smooth transition to keep it going in that area.
Oh, I have no doubt that will not be a challenge for us in the community. I know there's so many other camps out there where maybe there's one lead with a few supporting volunteers or something like that, and somebody has a lot on their shoulders, but it's really not the case here. We have, as I said, just a truly amazing team, and there's probably half a dozen people who could run a successful camp as the lead organizer with the rest of us supporting them. And 2 years from now, we'll probably only have more people helping out on the team. So it's really amazing. We're very fortunate.
What kind of time frame are you thinking about in terms of the month for that?
What kind of time frame of the month? Well,
which month? Which month?
We're shooting for October probably again. That's where we did last year and this year as well.
Okay.
And we really like it, as long as we choose a Saturday that's an away game for the U of M.
Oh, yeah, geez. Up there in Michigan and the campus of Ann Arbor, which is Michigan Wolverines, right?
That's correct.
The blue and yellow. Holy smokes, does it get crowded up there?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole city is just football town.
It really is. I mean, the Big House is a special place. They're the most attended college football stadium, you know, in the nation. Over 100,000 people. It's really, really huge. The population of the city practically doubles on home game Saturdays. And so you basically don't go there unless you're going to the game. But you know, we choose an away game weekend, and this year and last year we did 1-day word camps. Next year we know that we can sell a lot more tickets than we did this year, so we're considering either adding more tracks or potentially a second day. And I don't know exactly what the day will be. Probably just one weekend in October, whichever is an away game.
Are there any plans to stream the event?
If we can pull it off, we would love to do it. We had we made an effort to do it this year, and we were able to stream some of our tracks, but we were only the second camp after Tampa to use the live stream equipment provided by the foundation,
mm-hmm.
which does ship us live stream kits now, and not really anyone on our team was really experienced in using the equipment, and so it didn't work out as I had hoped. We'll try it better next year.
We had Andrew Middleton on the show last year. It's been a whole year, Jeff. Jeez. She had expressed the goal, and I used air quotes when I said goal, to stream every event, and I keep waiting for that to happen. So hopefully they'll have some sort of instruction manual or something like that next time.
That's in the works. I'm in close communication with the individuals working on documentation for that, and it's in the works for sure. There's just not a lot of precedence for it because it's very new, and I do remember, and that was in my mind, I remember that episode of your show with Andrew Middleton talking about that, and I think that that's definitely in the future, but the process needs to become a little simpler, and organizers need to, you know, definitely plan for time learning the equipment and setting it up and using it in advance and having a number of dedicated volunteers to working with it to pull it off successfully.
Well, speaking of WordCamps and videos, you are very involved with the WordPress.tv or, WordPress.tv, WordCamp. I always want to say WordCamp.tv. Either or, I guess. sort of. But anyways, you're very involved with their team. You've been contributing code to the website, moderating videos, coordinating projects, generally doing whatever needs to be done over there. Okay, WordPress.tv, so I got it right. I also found out that you're going to be going to the Community Summit this year to help with the team's initiative. So just sort of give us a rundown of what you do over there for the team, and if somebody's interested, how they can get involved.
Yeah, thanks for asking that, Jeff. I do love working with the WordPress.tv team. We're kind of a just small team, but we're very eager to get things done and passionate about the work that we do. WordPress.tv, I think, is a super awesome website. So anybody who wants to get involved or learn a little bit more about what we do, go to make.wordpress.org/TV. It's our new P2 blog. We're an official team over there on the Make blogs. And we've got some cool P2 posts that describe some of the things that we're working on. I recently made a post talking about making a new page on the site just to list our initiatives, just the active ongoing projects that we're doing and who's the contact person. So that's a good thing to look at if you're curious about what sort of things we do. Just about everybody I talk to has kind of some vague conception of what we do on the TV team, but we actually have a lot of responsibilities and active projects. So that's a great thing to look at and learn about. We have weekly meetings in Slack. We have a WPTV channel and the WordPress Slack team. I help out with a few things in particular. I'm one of the few developers on the team who helps with addressing track tickets relating to the WordPress.tv site and trying to make that site better. I moderate videos sometimes and help wrangle the meetings and come up with ideas. One of our big initiatives right now, which you've talked a little bit about in the Tavern, Jeff, is we're talking about redesigning the site because it's a little dated, hasn't been really touched very much in some years. So that's a big initiative. We're in the early stages of determining what functionality is going to be really important for the site, and then we're going to be moving into a design phase pretty soon and seeing what we can mock up and what's going to be a good design for this site and see if we can implement it maybe at some point next year. So that'll be a big thing we'll probably be working on at the Community Summit as well, but we're talking about it now. And we welcome everyone to get involved who has an opinion about how the site could be better.
Well, I'll tell you what. The .tv site is the hidden gem in the WordPress community. I love it. I watch it all the time. I try and catch as much as I can as far as WordCamp presentations and things. And so thank you for your contribution to that. It's really great. I love the .tv site.
That's awesome. Thanks, Marcus. And I wouldn't be surprised if you would be someone who would be a resource for coming up with great ideas on how to make it even better. I would love to hear your thoughts if you ever have the time to share them, because we're really looking for what we can do. Take advantage of this opportunity to really rethink how the site can best serve people like yourself who are trying to use it.
Well, I would love to see things cataloged in series, if it's just tags, like a tag playlist or something like that, where it's kind of you could do like a beginner's introduction to WordPress and show kind of all the introductory ones, and then maybe all the REST API presentations, things like that. I think that if they were maybe packaged like that, it would be kind of cool. I do it just because there are so many, being on the extreme West Coast, there's so many things that I just can't get to in terms of any East Coast events or things like that that are just kind of out of range for me. But I'm you got my word. I'll log into the Make and I'll give my 2 cents as far as what I think it needs.
We'd appreciate that, Marcus.
My 2 cents is replicate everything YouTube already does. Pretty much.
Yeah, believe me, Jeff, we've already talked about that a little bit in one of our recent meetings. You were quoted, and the discussion was held.
Really? Well, does that mean I'm going to start doing plug-in haul videos? I went to the repository, and look what I got.
Right. More cats and like that.
I only say that because YouTube's been in the video business now for years. I like their setup. I like how they do related videos. I like how I have an account. I can like videos. I can create my own playlist. I can favorite them. They're easily embeddable. I can share them. I mean, there are all kinds of those cool things. And plus, I liked its presentation and the way it displays the video information, you know, that's connected closer to the video. Right now on WordPress.tv, sometimes that stuff was way off in the sidebar somewhere. So I just think video or YouTube does a lot of things right, and it would make a good model for a lot of improvements that can come towards WordPress.tv.
As long as we don't bring the comments with them,
yeah, right,
then we'll be fine. But I think you're right on that it is a great model of a highly effective, well used, and well designed video website. So it's a good example.
You know, and you sort of being behind the scenes, I think we may have talked about this a little bit. When it comes to the content at WordPress.tv, we know that video units get sent and shipped to various WordCamps. And, you know, there's a lot of WordCamps that go on, and there is a lot of footage and content that doesn't ever make it to WordCamp or WordPress.tv because either the video is not good enough, or the audio is not good enough. And we have, you know, what we have here at all these WordCamps are volunteers, some people who may have never operated a piece of audio video equipment, have no experience in this realm, and they're being charged with the duties of, you know, standing there, making sure someone's in focus, making sure it's recording, exchanging the SD cards, and doing all of that, yet we're still losing out on a lot of content at all these various WordCamps. And I don't, other than having a dedicated team that goes to each WordCamp that wants to be videotaped, and that's just cost prohibitive and would involve a lot of traveling. You can't have the same person at two camps at the same weekend. I don't know how we solve this problem, so we end up with more, with better and more videos on WordPress.tv.
Yeah, this is definitely a topic that I'm passionate about and deeply frustrated with in the past. And I'm someone that has given a lot of WordCamp presentations, and it isn't evident online because only a fraction of them ever made it to the web. And I'm just one of many, many people who have had that same experience. The WordPress TV team is fully aware of this situation, and we're doing what we can. We've kind of started somewhat of an outreach program in recent months where John Parkinson from Ohio is leading this effort and making a conscious effort for us to get in touch with WordCamp organizers in advance and doing everything that we can to help them, to train them, teach them to use equipment, make sure that they have everything that they need, make sure that they're appropriately staffed and just generally things like that to keep this on their mind, because in the past so many times WordCamps, like, video was some kind of an afterthought, and it was evident in the results. So you're totally right that a lot of presentations never make it to the web. This could be for all kinds of reasons, like maybe a certain percentage of them just never get recorded to begin with. A certain percentage of them, the recording is very poor quality and never gets published. A very small percentage of them, for some reason or another, don't get published online. There are some guidelines for WordPress.tv, but on what can be published there, but they're not super restrictive, and that's edge case. And there are experiences we've had in WordCamp Ann Arbor 2014. We even contracted someone to do the video work for us and paid them, and never got the videos. They just went AWOL and disappeared. So,
wow, cha-ching for them, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Very, very frustrating to us, and just things like that happen. So this year we tried to go all volunteers. We had some success. It was obviously better than last year. We got the video, but still it takes a lot of volunteers and making sure that someone's on the camera all the time and making sure that they remember just to turn it on or record the session, or that it's not pointing in the wrong direction or something silly like that. we don't have a staff of volunteers who are experienced with AV equipment, and you never know when a battery is going to die during a presentation or something that just kills it and makes it not a great viewing experience. So there's a lot of work to be done in that area, but I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, and I just want to say I'm not complaining or bashing anyone. I'm just saying that's the reality of the situation that we're in now.
You're right.
And, you know, one of the other interesting topics before we move on, I thought it was interesting, and Marcus and I actually talked about this a little bit, is the post that was on the Make blog that I think I also talked about on WP Tavern, where WordPress.tv has been around long enough now that we're starting to have an issue with videos, presentations from, 2010, 2011? We're starting to have this issue of old content, and what do you do with it? Do you archive it? Do you hide it from view? Do you delete it? Just sort of want to get your thoughts from someone who is, a lot closer to the WordPress.tv stuff than I am. What do you think should be done with the older content?
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion that we were having in recent times, and I think it's one worth having because, as you said, there's some content on the WordPress.tv site that's pretty old now, and some of it is, reflecting long past versions of WordPress or recommending things that don't exist anymore or practices that are, obsolete at this time. So what do we do about that? And a lot of discussion was had. I wrote a P2 post, which I think you referenced. They got a lot longer than I expected, but basically, as you said, the options are to, do we get rid of that content, or do we archive it in some way, or do we just implement some kind of a UI that indicates to a user that this is kind of an outdated content, so if somebody stumbles across it, they are made aware of the fact that this may no longer be applicable or helpful to them. Because really, it's about serving the users. We don't want someone to come across something and get confused as a result of this content or be misled or frustrated for some reason because this is telling them to do something that no longer applies. And we do want to help them as much as possible by directing them to something that's more relevant. But at the same time, we're not really a big fan of purging old content completely.
That's like, to me, personally, I think there should be a UI that notifies the user, hey, this is particularly old content that may not be relevant to the WordPress of today, and B, the content should be archived, and if the cost of hosting the older videos or archiving them is too much, I think there could be a negotiation or connection, something could be worked out between WordPress.tv and maybe the Internet Archive for videos and just transfer all of the older content from a certain year back to that area so at least it's preserved because
sure.
the one thing that really irks me is the deletion of WordPress history, and for someone that covers WordPress stuff for a living, and I go back and I search and I find all these things that either 404 or something. Thank God for the Wayback Machine because some of that stuff is still around, but just to see some of that stuff from 2009, 2010 just to disappear and it's no longer accessible. And once you delete a video, that's it, it's gone. I mean, it's not like content where it's cached. I mean, it's hard to get back once it's gone.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It's been interesting. We've even had actually, speakers reach out to us in recent times, totally coincidentally, asking us like if we could remove an old video of theirs that they gave years ago at a WordCamp, and they think, oh, that was just such a terrible presentation, or it's no longer applicable. The advice I gave in that talk is now misleading or not good advice or whatever. I didn't know what I was talking about back then. Things I would say if I saw myself speak several years ago. So we have questions like this, what are we saying? No, we're not deleting that video or something. I don't know. So the discussion now is like leaning towards some kind of a UI, which will be working into the discussion of the new site design. And it's just a question of what does it say and how does it work? And in the perfect world, it would recommend something that was an equivalent. Like you're watching this video about SEO from 2009 and all these recommendations are now obsolete. You might want to watch this modern video that's an equivalent that actually is helpful, just as an example. But how do we technically accomplish that, or how do we, determine what is the appropriate modern equivalent of this content, or do we just simply post a message that says, hey, you know, in case you're wondering, this video might not be applicable anymore?
And how has the foreign section grown in terms of international users that aren't even in English?
I'm not really the right person to ask for specifics, other than I know that it is growing. I know that our team would benefit from more multilingual speakers helping and contributing to the team, especially moderating videos or providing subtitles to videos and things like that, and helping us just serve a broader market better. But I don't really know much about numbers or growth rates or anything really interesting.
So just to wrap it up here, one last thing here, and then we'll move on to the plugin picks of the week. But I know you're involved with, you like to discuss WordPress news and happenings, and you're sort of a developer, and you also have experience with running a WordPress development agency. So I just want to get your take. Open mic for you. What's the most exciting thing that you're looking forward to with WordPress 4.4, which is scheduled to be released shortly in the beginning of December? Because right now it's looking like there are plenty of things for both end users and developers to be excited about, maybe even more so for developers.
What's the most exciting for 4.4? You know, so I don't have a feature list in front of me, but I've definitely been following the core track and the core discussion and tuning into core meetings and stuff. I think that this release is shaping up to be a really, really solid one. I know that there's some cool improvements being made to the multi-site experience, which is something that is very important to me. I work with multi-site a lot, and a lot of my clients require it. I know that responsive images is coming along very well. That's super powerful. A handful of other things, you know, but really probably we'll look back on this as significant. The significant improvement is going to be the introduction of the REST API.
I knew it. I could have called it the flying cars API.
Well, it's really no secret. We all know that that's like a big, a really big step for the platform to move in this direction, and it's been in development for so long. Even a year ago, we were like, oh, are we going to merge the REST API into version 4.0?
Heck, even a couple of months ago, there was discussion that it, you know, they were looking for reasons. There was discussion that it might not even be merged in the core, that maybe it would just stay as a plugin.
It's been all over the place. It's been super interesting to follow, but I think they've made a lot of smart decisions about how it's been developed and what they've gone through to get more adoption, because that's been one of the challenges that they've faced, is getting more people to work with it in production, you know, before it's actually in core and learn from that. And so they're at a good state right now where that's going to be moving in. It's not going to make a huge immediate impact on how we use it because the endpoints aren't coming in until the next release, but we'll be using it in projects, and that's a big deal for us. But really, this release, you asked for the biggest thing, what I'm most excited about, but I think that this is an awesome release, and it can't be summed up just by the inclusion of the architecture for the REST API. There's a lot of cool stuff going into this.
Well, how about that taxonomy term meta? That seems to be big on very high-end developers' lists.
You know, it's pretty powerful. We've been doing projects recently where that was a requirement, meta on taxonomy terms, and the only existing solutions are really clunky and weird workarounds, and it feels so awkward and dirty to have to do it, but it's all that we have in WordPress right now. And so the thought that we're going to have a smooth, clean way of implementing this functionality into WordPress in the within the next release, that's very exciting. I'm just so excited about the code base for some of our projects being improved greatly.
Yep, I pretty much agree. And on top of all that, man, there's like over 1,000 tickets that have been committed to WordPress. So there's so many little things that have been fixed and bug enhancements and a lot of things dealing with comments that have been addressed finally. So this is just, you know, it's been a long time since I've been excited about a WordPress release, but 4.4 is definitely up there.
God, yeah, Scott Taylor deserves a lot of props because this is a beast of a release, and he's doing a great job.
Well, before we get to the plug-in picks of the week, Marcus, anything you'd like to go over with Kyle here before we wrap it up?
Well, Kyle, I think you're kind of the prototypical, starter, startup guy when it comes to WordPress. You're the success story that many out there can learn from in terms of how to learn WordPress and kind of keep your nose to the grindstone and get other people involved in it and make it happen. And I've actually used a couple of your plugins too, and it's been a big thrill to have you on the show here. I know that we met in person at WordCamp San Francisco last year, and Jeff and I have both done your show individually, and I just want to thank you for all your contributions, and thanks for being on the show.
I really appreciate that, Marcus. That's so nice of you to say. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be on the show, you guys. This is an awesome part of the community. I really love this show. I never miss an episode, actually. I've been listening to your show for a long time, and I've never missed one. So it's a thrill to be on here talking to you guys right now.
Are you going to listen to this show, the one you're on, so you can hear yourself talk?
This is going to be the first episode that I'm going to skip.
Yeah. As he hangs up, he's going to go stream the YouTube clip.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I can't listen to that. I can't think of anything worse to listen to. But WordPress Weekly, I think, is just like a gem, an important part of the community, that you guys have such an awesome audience and you serve them so well. And I value this podcast so much, and the WP Tavern as well. Like, kudos to you guys on the air. I think you guys are awesome, and you're doing such great, great stuff, so keep it up.
Now, wait a minute. Have you given us an iTunes review yet?
A long time ago.
Okay.
Before you started reading them online, I had already reviewed you.
We'll have to go back and read that again, maybe next week.
Yes, I will have to. Yeah, we're going to go back, and we're going to see if what you say is true.
long ago, I don't remember.
Speaking of podcasts, by the way, I want to get this out there before we move on, but you have a podcast yourself. It's called WP Roundtable. It's weekly, and you have a couple of guests on. It's sort of like a roundtable where you have two or three hosts, and you interview a guest on every week. Tell us a little bit about that and how people can tune in and listen to it.
Yeah, at WPRoundtable.com, and we're on at WP Roundtable on iTunes. So every Monday evening, we go live with a hangout, and then we stream the podcast episode out. But every week is a new guest with someone from the community. We have all kinds of cool guests, like Jeff and Marcus in the past, and a lot of different people. You know, we've had Corey Miller and Jake Goldman and Pippa Williamson and all kinds of other cool people have been on the show. I try very hard to get a new guest on every single week, somebody different. I've never repeated a guest yet, and we're going into our 78th episode or something like that.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, the struggle is real, my friend.
It's pretty fun, but it's a great way for us to kind of like connect to the community or introduce new people and give them some kind of an exposure. So we just talk for a little while about their experiences, and it's all about learning who the people are that are involved in this community and doing different things. So we've got some cool people on the schedule for coming up the next couple months.
Did you say episode 78?
I think so.
Wow, that's I didn't realize you were around for that long. Congrats, man! You're almost up to the big 100.
we just plug away at it. We do it only because we love it. You know, we're not sponsored or this. It's just because we enjoy doing it week in and week out. So we just put together another episode and chat with more people. It's what it's about.
It's kind of what we do here on this show. We've been doing it now for a while. Marcus has been instrumental in trying to get some people on that are outside of the WordPress community, but we've still been able to sort of rope them in and kind of sort of like related to WordPress, but not exactly. And we've been doing a good job here. And the whole podcasting thing, you know, being able to talk to people about WordPress is a lot different than reading what they have to say in terms of words. I enjoy just shooting the shit and talking to people about things versus, you know, typing back and forth. You know, it's a great medium.
It really is. And you guys do a fantastic job of putting together the podcast and getting great guests on the show. I always love the guests that you select and learn so much. It's just always all around great interviews.
Thanks.
Well, how can people get in touch with you if they want to stalk you or something?
If for some reason they wanted to, they are welcome to hit me up on Twitter at Mr. Kyle Maurer. That's MRKYLEMAURER. Or on WordPress Slack, I'm at Brash Rebel. That's you know, realbigmarketing.com is my company website. We do WordPress stuff, and yeah, that's me.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for all you do for the WordPress community and helping to make WordPress better. Good luck with your agency, Real Big Marketing, and keep making awesome plugins, man. You're a great community steward. It's a pleasure having you in the WordPress world.
Thanks so much, Jeff. That means really quite a lot coming from you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So that wraps up our interview with Mr. Kyle Maurer. And Marcus, great stuff there. I mean, again, another one of those stories where just you're raised on a farm and somehow you end up doing awesome things in a WordPress community. I mean, there's a lot that's happened in between that space of time. But again, we end up in a situation where the meetups end up being the gateway to foster somebody who is doing awesome things now in the community. And it's just great hearing those types of stories. And it means WordPress is there. It could happen for anyone as long as you put your mind to it.
Yeah, so be all you people at meetups, be nice to the new guy, because in a couple years he might be the WordCamp organizer.
He might be your boss. Who knows? So that was that. I loved that interview. That was a great interview. So Marcus, I guess we don't really have that much to discuss story-wise. I guess you should know that WordPress 4.4 Beta 2 was released today. So if you're testing WordPress, make sure to upgrade to Beta 2. And if you visit the tavern, I did a interview with Joe McGill, who is one of the people responsible for getting responsive images in Chorus. So I sat down with him, did about a 30-minute interview where we talked about what the feature is, why it's important for WordPress to have, and how it works. The audio was not pushed to the podcast stream, so you're not going to get it from iTunes. You're actually going to have to go to wptavern.com. Find the post and click it there or download the MP3 from there. But definitely give that a listen if you're interested in knowing what the heck this whole thing about responsive images are in WordPress. And with that said, Marcus, I guess we should roll into your picks of the week.
Oh, man, I've got some good ones. The first one out of the gate here is called Media Deduper. And quite simply, it saves disk space and brings some of the order into the chaos or whatever, you know, it makes your things a lot less cluttered in terms of your media library because it removes and prevents duplicate files. So if you've been like me and have five of the same stupid logo uploaded in there, it won't let you do it. It'll say, hey, this file is to be used in its place. So it's called Media Deduper. This next one is called Feature Request. Now, we've all seen these things, feature requests, where somebody actually puts a suggestion out there and then the rest of the people vote on it. That's exactly what this plugin does. It's called Feature Request, and hey, that may be something for the crash site. Maybe we can request those different features. So, Kyle, you need to maybe install this one. Finally, we've got one called Minimum Dimensions for Image Field, and what this does is it lets the admin set the criteria and allows you to set a size constraint for the featured image field. So it either has to fit in a minimum image size requirement or a maximum image size requirement so that you can take advantage of really being optimal when it comes to your image sizing on your web, on your web page, and also, you know, making sure that the thumbnails aren't 10 megs. So this is a good plugin to have. Minimum Dimensions for Image Field, and those three are my plugin picks of the week.
But don't you just love working on a client site where they use 2,000 by 1,500 pixel sized featured images that are 3 megs each?
Yeah, and it shrinks down to a 10 by 10 logo.
Yeah, and it shrinks down to a 10 by 10 logo, yet it's still 10 megs because it's using that same image file, which, by the way, responsive images will take care of all that because the way it works is because WordPress creates different size images and each of those the smaller image sizes are, you know, of course, smaller in display size pixel-wise, but they're also smaller file-wise. You'll only see the ones that make sense for your viewport for whatever device you're on. So that's why responsive images is a big deal for WordPress. But that sounds like a cool plugin. And with that, we don't have, right now, we are open for next Wednesday, but that should change. It always does, last minute thing. So we'll either be talking about what's going on in the WordPress world, or we'll have a guest on. We'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. let's see. As far as events are concerned, I don't know of any that are really coming up. Of course, we're about, next month is November, so we're about a little more than a month away from WordCamp US in Philly. So that's going to be a big-time event. And the clocks go back an hour this Sunday. We have that going on. Yay, it'll be dark at 5:30. So I'm not looking. Yeah, hooray. But other than that, yeah, pretty chilled out here for the next few weeks. You know what? I think somewhere around WordCamp US, you know, may coincide with, it might happen just after US, the release of WordPress 4.4. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. It's JeffFR0. And Marcus, my main man.
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and also on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Fantastic. So we're through hump day. Enjoy the rest of the week. Get through it. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll see you back here next Wednesday evening. Until then, take care.